Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, if you follow this broadcast regularly, we are talking about the subject of lifestyle evangelism, because that's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. And just to remind you that we're not talking about lifestyle evangelism as opposed to verbal evangelism, but we're talking about lifestyle evangelism as an introduction to verbal evangelism, as a foundation for it, as an entry into it, as a way to earn a hearing so that people will want to know what you say when you evangelize, when you witness to them verbally. Sometimes I think people conceive of lifestyle evangelism as an easier way to evangelize. And I suppose it is, because most people are more intimidated about speaking to others about Christ than they are about simply being a witness by a holy lifestyle. But Peter doesn't present it as an easy option. He presents it as difficult, as warfare. Listen to what he says. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we want to continue talking about this on Wednesday, September 18, enabled by those whose financial gifts pay the cost of broadcasting God's Word on this station. Well, it is a battle. It is a warfare. It is a fight against an enemy, and as Peter tells us, the enemy is within us. It is the fleshly lusts which war against the soul that we have to be most concerned about. I have met the enemy, and it is me. And we realize that this enemy is determined. Fleshly lust which war against the soul. This is a description of relentless, hostile enemy activity. This is guerrilla warfare, and it is in the present tense. This is going on continually, which continue to war against the soul. There is no truce, there is no respite, there is no place where we can get away from this until we die and go to meet the Lord. Until then, it's a battle, folks. It's a battle all the way to the end. And it is certainly not doing any Christian a service to suggest otherwise, as some have over the years. But there is no place where we can avoid this battle. We only deceive ourselves if we think so. And so when we sing songs like, I long to live above the world where Satan's darts at me are hurled, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. The idea being that there is a place, if we'll just find it, if we find the secret to this place of spiritual victory, we can rise above the world where Satan's darts are hurled. Some may be content to dwell in that place, but not me. I'm going above it. Well, not until you die. I'm going higher, yes, higher someday. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, and then we'll leave all this behind. But until then, we're not going to leave it behind. And though Satan's darts being hurled at me are one great area of battle, there's even a greater area of battle, and that's the fleshly desires that are within me. They are continually warring against the soul, that is, the mind. That is, our spiritual mind, as it has been renewed by the Spirit of God. The fleshly lusts are warring against that. It's a battle for our thoughts, our mind processes, our thinking processes. That's what it's a battle for. We've got to learn to think properly. And when we succumb to these sinful desires, it weakens our will, it perverts our desires, it clouds our understanding, and causes long-range damage to the soul. Giving in to sinful temptations, which might seem to be relatively harmless, depending, of course, upon what temptations we're talking about. But I want to assure you, dear friend, they are deadly. Whenever you give in, you give the enemy a greater foothold in this battle. He isn't playing a game. He's fighting to the end. And we need to be fighting as well. But the enemy can be defeated. That's bound up in that word abstain. Peter isn't appealing to us to abstain if it's not possible to abstain. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. More literally, be holding yourself off from. Again, present tense. To match the present tense of the activity against our soul. Our abstaining activity is also present tense. That means it is going on continually. We've got to continually battle. We've got to continually resist. We've got to continually avoid. Every Christian has one or more besetting sin. You know what yours are. What it is that you are tempted to do that you most often fall in, that you most often succumb to the temptation. You know what that is. And it's not the same for everybody, but you know what it is. Well, dear friend, you've got to realize that by yielding to the Spirit of God, by acknowledging that the Bible is true, and that we can abstain, and that we ought to abstain, in fact, we must abstain if we're going to make progress in the Christian life, what you've got to do is determine that you are going to resist that temptation when it first appears. What usually happens? Well, it presents itself, and you say, well, I'm not going to really get into it this time, but I'll just take a look. I'll just say something general. I'll just do this. I'll just do that. We stick our toe in. Like sticking our toe into a swimming pool to test the water, to see how the temperature is. And we're not really going to get in the pool. We're just wondering what the temperature is today. Well, for what reason? Why would you want to know what the temperature is unless you're planning to get in, or at least considering it? You see, even the act of sticking your toe in is a concession to the possibility of getting in the pool. Otherwise, why do you do it? But Satan is clever, and he knows how to appeal to our minds and to our sinful desires. He knows what they are. He probably knows what they are better than we do, or at least as well as we do, because he watches us and he sees where we have fallen before. And so he's right there to utilize that against us again. Now, when we resist and resist and resist, when we abstain right up front long enough, then the temptation weakens. But when we stick our toe in, then the temptation strengthens. Now, what you've got to realize is that according to the Bible, believers have God's ability to resist. Sin is no longer our master. The power of sin is broken. When we are saved, the power, the domination, the mastery of sin in our lives is no more. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood availed for me. He breaks the power. And that's the truth. Believers have had the mastery of sin broken for them and then are given God's ability to resist temptation as it comes along. We have the Holy Spirit of God within. We have the resource of prayer and the fellowship of the saints and many other things that we can resort to. But sometimes we can't get to our Christian friends that can help us. But we can always get to the throne of grace every time. If every time a temptation comes, you would stop right then and go to the throne of grace in prayer, how often do you think you would succumb? Probably not at all. Well, folks, it's an ongoing battle, and we cannot yield entrance to temptation. We cannot let it in the door. We cannot treat it with mild affection, that which the Bible calls sin. The battle rages within. It's in our mind. It's largely unseen. It's intertwined in our thought life. And great self-discipline is required. And we have got to be willing and determined to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Reject sinful temptation, and don't even make one move toward it. Don't give it even the slightest entrance into your life. Put it out of sight, put it out of mind, and to the extent that you do, you will triumph. But when you relax, when you think, well, this is not such a big deal, I don't have to worry about this one. When you say, well, I'm not really going to get involved, God knows I'm not, I'm just going to try, just going to see. I'm just going to see what's there. You will fall. You will fall. Haven't you learned that by now? There's only one way to win the battle, and that's to abstain. And abstain means none. Not a little bit. Not moderation. None. That's what abstain means. And that's what the Spirit of God by Peter, the Apostle, says to us. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That means nothing. Nada. Not one little bit. Not in moderation. Not one bite. Not one sip. Not one peek. Not one word. But abstain. And when you do, you will win the battle. And when you don't, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. And this is an appeal. And we're talking about, what are we talking about? Lifestyle evangelism. What we're going to have to do to live the kind of life that will enable us to be effective evangelists to those around us. Think on these things and join me again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.